Welcome to Copper Country Today, here it's Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock on 97.7 The Wolf, 8 o'clock on 1400 AM, 99.3 FM WCCY, and 9 o'clock on KBR 102.3. Our program is brought to you in part by the members of the Copper Country Education Association and by the Copper Country Veterinary Clinic, proud supporters of the Copper Country Humane Society and the Keweenaw Spay and Neuter Assistance Group. You can also listen to a podcast of our program by going to the Copper Country Today page at KeweenawReport.com. In the second segment, I will be speaking to members of the Youth Advisory Council from the Keweenaw Community Foundation about the work they do in the local area. But now, I would like to welcome Kim Stoker from the Western Upper Peninsula Planning and Development Region and Sherry Lynn Lampinen from Michigan Works. Thank you very much for joining me today.
Good morning, Sam.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
So, the Regional Prosperity Initiative. Give us a little background on what exactly it is and what went into planning for something like this.
The Regional Prosperity Initiative was originally started last fiscal year when the legislature appropriated dollars to go into this initiative, and the only eligible applicants for those dollars were the regional planning agencies. There's actually 14 state regional planning agencies that cover all 83 counties in the state of Michigan. The state of Michigan used to support us financially back in the 80s, but basically this initiative, again, was came out of Governor Snyder and his staff. It started out with there. Right now there's 10 prosperity regions, and I believe Michigan Works is the Upper Peninsula was tagged as Prosperity Region 1. Mm-hmm. And luckily, we fought hard to keep our three service delivery areas. So Whippeter covers six counties, the western six counties. We have QPAD, which is a central planning region that covers six counties in the central. And then we have the eastern UP planning region that covers three over in the Sioux. So we set about applying for the monies, and we had a short window of a month time to write the application for the first dollars that we got, and we spent hours and hours in our staff room. We invited Sherry Lynn. We also invited KEDA, the Keweenaw Economic Development Alliance, to sit at the table and help us outline what we believed. And Sam, they actually, when the legislators appropriated the money, they also passed some boilerplate legislation. The boilerplate for the RPI, one of the things was that you must have certain organizations or agencies at the table. And by the way, the all state agencies have to align with the prosperity regions. So there's actually 10 regions, even though there's 14 planning regions. So there's some overlap. There's some force downstate where they made them join together. I believe the same thing's happening in Michigan Works, isn't it, Sherry Lynn?
That's correct.
So just like MDOT, Department of Transportation, Department of Natural Resources, et cetera, the organizations that were required to be at the table were transportation, economic development, workforce, higher education, adult education, local units of government, private sector, and foundations and nonprofit. So we set about once we received the grant monies. And again, I'm looking at a map right now, Sam, that we call the spaghetti map. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the things that the Snyder administration said is, look at all the agencies and how there is, you know, what was the rhyme or reason? Just like if you look at ISDs, we have, three counties for the Copper Country ISD. Mm-hmm. And then there's the Gogebic-Ontonagon ISD, which is only two. And then Iron County got kicked over into the central region, which is with Dickinson County. So the Snyder administration said, we need to do something here and try to get these boundaries and these service areas that are, you know, the spaghetti map. We need to try to bring them together. So that's one of the things that we did in that application is to get the stakeholders. And the first thing I did, too, Sam, was when I thought about this as the director of Whippeter is – what do we actually have in terms of organizations in the western six counties that receive some type of state, federal, or local tax dollars? So I charged my staff with finding that out, and the first thing I asked Jerry Warrenma, our transportation planner, is how many organizations provide transportation services in the western six counties? Take a guess what the number was.
Six?
Try about 43.
That's it.
And everybody laughed. And so what I did is I put together a list of these organizations, and I took them to my Whippeter Commission, which is, again, county commissioners and city officials, et cetera, that meet on a quarterly basis down in Bruce Crossing and discuss some of these things. Well, I put up 10 pages of organizations, and I said, this is what we're going to look at. We're going to try to figure out where we're overlapping in some of these services. How can we start partnering in some of these things? And again, the word consolidation was something we're trying not to use because we're not trying to consolidate anything. The Prosperity Initiative is a collaboration. And again, I think when Sherry Lynn talks a little bit here about what Michigan Works and Whippeter are doing together and what we're trying to do with KEDA, et cetera, it's going to become clear what the Prosperity Plan is all about. So with that, we got all these stakeholders together, and we invited, I believe, over 170 people from the six counties and some that overlap, like UPCAP. Jonathan Mead operates out of Escanaba but has an influence in our area. So we brought these people to the table. We told them what we were going to do, and that was, one thing was organizational profiles. The organizational profiles, they were we hired a person that went and sat down with each one of these organizations and asked some specific questions, what they do, what the size of their budget is, what area they serve, and we entered all that into a database. And that database will start showing us some of these areas. Like, I believe one of the most astounding ones that came up was, ask the question, is there anybody else that provides the same type of service in your area as you do? Mm-hmm. Over 50% said, yes, there is somebody that provides that type of service. That's a pretty astounding figure to me. So that's, again, one of the things we're going to try to look at. Another one was, are resources drying up? And I think everybody understands that this Prosperity Initiative is to say, we can't afford to continue doing business the way we're doing it. Even my agency, I generally have one page of grants that I work on. And when I say one page, it lists my budgets and, you know, et cetera. Right now, this fiscal year, I'm about half a page. So that's a pretty good indication to me that things are changing. And one of my presentations that I do is one of the first slides I put up is it's a new day. And in government, it is a new day. We're trying to figure out how to do more with less. That was the first buzz. Now we're trying to figure out how to just stay in business. And, again, you saw it when the Tea Partiers shut down the federal government. I think that was a pretty good indication that the taxpayers are kind of tired of what's going on. And, again, we're trying to reform some of these things. So the Prosperity Initiative will help do that. So when we did the organizational profiles, we did higher education, adult, pre-ed, health care, economic development, charities, workforce, transportation, natural resources, human service, chamber of commerce, and tourism. So I'll give you another figure. How many chamber of commerce and CVBs, that's convention visitors bureaus, do you think there are in the western six counties?
Maybe eight.
13.
Again.
So, again, those are the kinds of things we're looking at, another one that I'm looking at here is the average funding allocation. Of these organizations, 49% of them were funded by the government, 41% are dues structures, so like KEDA membership here in the local area is funded by dues, memberships from their private businesses. Another one was endowment, 6%, and then donations, about 4%. And by the way, we did invite Kevin Storr from the Portage Health Foundation to sit at the table also. Kevin even suggested, so what we asked these people is, what do you think and we should be looking at? And Kevin, one of his ideas was, if you look at the number of nonprofits that we have operating, every one of them operates in a different location. His idea was, let's try to put them under one roof. Can you imagine if they shared the resources? And that would be anywhere from telephone to internet to heat and electricity in a building, and they shared the cost. Because I know some of those nonprofits are having a hard time staying alive. So again, that was another one of the things that came out of our meetings, is that we are going to propose that type of idea, maybe the Portage Health Foundation looks at helping fund that initiative.
Sherry Lynn, if you can get into the beginning and what compelled Michigan Works to get involved with this initiative.
Sure. As Kim had mentioned, one of the kind of encouraged or even required partners in the Regional Prosperity Initiative is workforce development. So that's where Michigan Works comes in. In addition to that, Michigan Works, it promotes economic development, education and training. We have local collaborations and partnerships with higher ed institutions, K through 12 public education, and those sort of agencies. So when RPI came out, we were very eager to move forward and look at some of this alignment, some of the collaboration, and where some of the efficiencies could be gained. So when we came to the table, one of the things we first asked is, well, what do we know and what don't we know?
Exactly.
And that's where those organizational profiles really started to come into play.
Were there some things that you were surprised about? I mean, we went through some of the numbers. Was any of it surprising in general to you?
I think that some of the numbers were surprising. I think when you think of six counties and then you start to look at how many agencies are funded through government funding, or just how many, when you're trying to access things, how many different access points there really are. And you start to wonder, do people know that those are available? Are we being as efficient as we can when services are being delivered? And I don't just mean we as Michigan Works. I look altogether at the partners and the agencies and even government structures of, are we being efficient and are we being effective? And I think RPI opens that door to the discussion of those. And that's the power of it.
Mr. Stoker, so the this past week, the plan was presented to the advisory committee. How did it go?
Backing up just a little from there is that I want to make sure that we say that those stakeholders, we held four meetings. So we held them kind of quarterly. And then we appointed a advisory group that represents those interests that I went over.
Yeah.
And I think that there was approximately 22 individuals that were actually, the boilerplate legislation said that you need to have this advisory group approve your plan. So we asked the stakeholders for their input. We took, you know, we spent hours and days and weeks and months putting together what those ideas were to generate the plan. And then, again, this past week, the advisory committee met and overwhelmingly, or unanimously, I should say, voted to approve the plan to be sent to the state. We don't want to say it's all inclusive, Sam, because, you know, we want to say it's a living document. But what's exciting is they're actually, you know, we put in an application already for 2015 funding.
Mm-hmm.
The legislature appropriated the money, approximately $3.5 million, which is up $1 million from last year. And they're hopefully these initiatives that we came up with are going to be funded. And so, again, we will have that plan to the state of Michigan by the end of the year, so by the end of this month. And hopefully by January 1 is when they announce whether we're going to receive that funding for 2015.
Sherry Lynn, when the plan was presented, what were some things that you said to yourself, okay, I'm going to be looking for this, this, and this? What were some of the key points that you were going to be looking at in terms of Michigan Works specifically?
Well, you know, the conversation had been ongoing throughout the year at the stakeholder meetings along with the advisory committee meetings. And also, as Kim mentioned, this is happening in the West, but it's happening in the Central and in the Eastern UP also. And Michigan Works has a presence throughout Michigan and in those designated areas of the Western, Central, and Eastern also. So what we do is jobs. And so when you look at what regional prosperity is going to promote, it's economic development and jobs. And so one of the things that I was looking at as we had discussions both internally through the Michigan Works system, as well as with Governor Snyder's staff and others that are helping us through this with technical assistance and other things, was where are our opportunities? Where are our strengths already? And where are our weaknesses that need to be addressed? And one of the things that I really looked for when we were having conversations with the stakeholders was what are our needs? Do we even know what they are? And when we see those needs, are we willing to go ahead and commit to address them? And RPI is that engine for us. It's that, let's have this conversation. Let's all get in the room. We have the opportunity, so let's get in the room and have that conversation.
You're listening to Copper Country Today, here with Kim Stoker from Whoopiter and Sherry Lynn Lampinen from Michigan Works. Mr. Stoker, if you could talk about who else, the partners who are involved, and when the idea was brought forth at first, was there any hesitancy from any of the partners?
No, and one of the ideas we came up with, Sam, is that with our partner, the Michigan Works, we have service centers, and I always want to call them one stop, Sherry, but that's not correct.
Right. It really it's service centers in five of the six counties, and they're an access point for businesses, job seekers, educators, anyone who's in those communities to access some of the services. So we talk about one stop. We're really talking about come in and ask that question, because we have resources that we can guide you to that are already existing in the communities.
Mm-hmm.
So what we did is we partnered with KEDA, the local agency serving three counties, and we're trying to promote expansion of that economic development alliance across the six counties is one of the things. Northern Initiatives, which is one of the primary lenders of second choice, I think you call it, out of Marquette, is one of our partners because they serve our area. PTAC, which is Don Mikowski and the government procurement contracting, is another one. SBDC, Small Business Development Center, Laura Moronic, she agreed to come to the table. And Smart Zone, Marilyn Clark. And who have I missed?
MEDC.
Yes, MEDC, the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. So the idea we came up with, Sam, is that at these existing service centers, let's not reinvent the wheel, let's just make them stronger. So those partners, what we've been doing is we have a county roadshow that we've been going to the county boards in our Western Six and talking about promoting these service centers. And you know what's funny is I've been in this business for going on 35 years now with my six counties, and sometimes people still say, well, I didn't know that SBDC did, you know, helped with business plans. I didn't know Northern Initiatives had a lending of second choice that we can go after if we're turned down from the bank. So putting these together, what we want to call it is a true economic development. And when you think of economic development, as we talk about the initiative that we're going to go after with other dollars, is that if you don't have strong communities, if you don't have flourishing businesses, you don't have, if you don't have housing that people can rent, or, you know, like right now I'm working on a project up in Copper Harbor. They have nobody to work there in the wintertime because there's no housing. So is there, you know, a need for that? Yes, there is. Putting these partners together, though, we're going to be, hopefully with next year's money, we're going to market those service centers as one stops. Again, I'm using that terminology. That anybody, we're going to have an intake sheet that says when they walk in the door, what are you looking for? We're going to co-brand our logos. We did the Upward Initiative. It was an opportunity study where we invited people from across the UP, and that was back in 2009. And the problem with that plan is it really didn't get implemented, but now we're building on that Upward Initiative that we started way back when, and hopefully these dollars. So the ideas just kept flowing. And again, when somebody stops in and says, I have got an idea for high tech, some type of high tech business. Well, the only high tech incubators we have in that right now are here in Houghton Hancock area. But we want to say to someone in Ironwood, if you have a high tech idea, here's where we're going to put you in contact with. And that's Marilyn Clark and her staff at the Smart Zone. So is there something they can do? One of the exciting things for me, too, is I started a thing that was called UP Link. I'm a firm believer in high-definition video, and we are now meeting every Monday morning. We call it our collaborative. So we have the Eastern, the Central, and the West, and we don't have to travel. It's right in my office, and Escanaba, they have one, and over in the Sioux, they have one, and we talk about what we're going to be doing in the coming weeks and how we may be able to collaborate. So what we're going to try to promote out of those service centers, too, is that each one of those has high-def video. So if Marilyn Clark needs to talk to somebody, I mean, it's like you're right in the room if you've ever used HD, you know, high-definition video. So, again, that's another one of our ideas to connect us. When I started this initiative back off from the Upward Opportunity Study, Senator Casperson was one of our big promoters of using video. When they had the, I think it was ATV legislation, people in the Upper Peninsula were up in arms about what they were doing. And he opened it up in the service center, Michigan Work Service Center in Escanaba, to people. They packed the room. And they testified to Lansing to the Senate chambers, and that was the first time that had ever been done. Subsequently, we've testified here from Houghton to the Senate chambers on the stamp sand issue that we have here in the city of Houghton. Mm-hmm. So basically, this is going to become reality, and RPI is going to help us do that too.
Sherry Lynn, it seems the plan has a lot to do with the relationship of the partners. If you could maybe just give us an example of a relationship that Michigan Works maybe didn't have or maybe was not as strong, but now with this initiative makes that relationship stronger.
Sure. And I just want to comment, too, on something that Kim said about the question had been, you know, how was the response? And the response has been very positive. I think, you know, to the question of relationships or an example of that would be Michigan Works partners with local education institutions to train job seekers, to upskill them or to train them in maybe a high demand occupation. And so conversations are certainly going on. But what has happened now is we're in the room and we're strategically planning and using data to drive what kind of education is being called for, what do we foresee with the data that we're gathering at Michigan Works and throughout the state, and what are education institutions like Gogebic Community College, Finlandia, Michigan Tech, what are they looking to do, Ojibwa Community College, mm-hmm. What are they looking to do, what are they already offering, and what can they be offering to meet those employer needs and the economic development needs. So I think that's one of the a specific example where the conversations were going on, but sometimes they're fragmented. Maybe there's one education institution in the room. Now we have all of them in the room. They're videoing in, they're calling in. We're all having one conversation about regional prosperity and how to meet those goals.
Mr. Stoker, you talked a lot about how you didn't want to use the word consolidation, but still, it even with collaboration, creating a one-stop shop. Some people are worried that maybe jobs within these organizations might have to be taken away. I don't want to use any harsh words or anything like that. But what would be your response to anyone who is just still afraid of the C word, I guess?
Well, I guess the answer to that is that hopefully we become stronger and we produce more jobs out of this economic initiative that we're trying. So, but are there going to be areas? And one that Sherry Lynn and I are working on is that I had a person leave my organization that helped my financial secretary, and now her financial person works part-time for me. We are looking to try to co-locate in the same building so we can share the same type of people. We write grants. Michigan Works is a grant-funded agency. Mm-hmm. So we want to share our grant writers and her people again. So realistically, if these people were going to lose their jobs, Sam, it was going to be due to changing funding sources, et cetera. So I don't want to say that the RPI or the collaboration would lead to their jobs. I think more the reduction of federal resources and state resources is where their jobs were going to go. So, again, we're not having any impact. But here's what I got. One of my co-directors called me one day and said, Kim, how much money are you applying for? And I said, as much as I can get, Diane. And she said, well, you're not a team player. And I came up with there's no I in team, but there is a me. That's a common saying. But I said, when I'm coming after your job or your money, are you a team player? So it's kind of a joke that I started my meetings out with. But at the same time, everybody recognized what I was saying. And again, it is. It's like we're not trying to bring down anything. We're not trying to consolidate anything. We want to come up with memorandums of understanding to keep organizations in place and functioning where otherwise they may go under. And some of the nonprofits and stuff are struggling. When you look at how we fund chambers of commerce and KEDA and all the memberships that come along, my commission has said, when are you going to all get together and quit everybody asking for money? And when you really get down to it, that's what people are getting tired of. What, you know, why should I be doing this? I like to brag about Whoopiter, but of course, because I've been there and I direct it. But we return $98 for every dollar it's invested in our organization, and that's a pretty strong, you know, return on investment. And I'm afraid that in the coming years, though, with the lack of the resources that are out there, that's probably going to be cut in half, just like my programs have. So again, I'm hoping that with the relationships we're building, we become stronger and we stay in place.
You know, I want to make a comment on that, too, is of course, whenever you're talking about reduction in funding, the first thing that you look at is staff. Yet programs and services still have to be provided. So when we're talking about, you know, consolidation, which is not what we're saying, but what some people are hearing, mm-hmm. what we're talking about is alignment, true collaboration, where you're not going to be providing identical services. Instead, you're going to look and say, I want to keep my five staff. You want to keep your five staff. So how are we going to provide those services without overlapping in the most efficient way? And I think that's what really is the true nature of what we need to get out with regional prosperity. And that's something that we're already starting to do. Like we're saying, natural attrition. So let's say a staff leaves naturally. Maybe we look and say that we can divide some of that out, or the service itself has changed, isn't have the same requirements. So now instead of replacing a full-time, let's look and see how we can replace it with another need in another organization or even in another community. So it's not about losing jobs. It's about creating economic development opportunities.
All right. Well, that'll wrap up this segment of Copper Country Today. I'd like to thank Kim Stoker and Sherry Lynn Lampinen for joining me on today's program. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sam.
Our program is brought to you in part by the members of the Copper Country Education Association and by the Copper Country Veterinary Clinic, proud supporters of the Copper Country Humane Society and the Keweenaw Spay and Neuter Assistance Group. You can also listen to a podcast of our program by going to the Copper Country Today page at keweenawreport.com. We'll be back with the second segment of Copper Country Today.